Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
That's 603-283-6160. As you may know, Aria, our co-host, has been sentenced in the Crypto 6 case. She took a plea on one charge and has been sentenced to 18 months in federal prison. That will be starting for her at the end of June. So she does have several weeks to kind of get her S in order. And then she will be checking in at what is presumably going to be a some sort of a minimum security federal camp for the next, well, probably at least a year before she'll get cut out into perhaps a halfway house or some form of home confinement. The last man standing is me. I went to trial and was found guilty on all 8 completely victimless counts, and I will be facing a sentencing on that for, at least at this point, in early July. It'll be July 17th at 10 a.m. federal court in Concord. You know, given what they've done to Aria, it's hard to be particularly optimistic about anything like a time served in my case. But still, I think letters to the judge can help. And I've been really pleased that so many people have sent in letters. We've had letters come in from all over the country, even some folks in Canada have sent them down, people in New Hampshire, of course, as well, sending them in. And so if you appreciate the things that I've done and you think I've had a benefit to you or to the community, then you absolutely qualify to write a letter to the judge. Just go to letters.freetalklive.com. You can learn about how to do that. That's letters.freetalklive.com. We've had over 100 so far, so thank you so much to everybody that has taken the time. It's really been touching to read how, you know, you make a difference in somebody's life. So thank you for that. Again, it's letters.freetalklive.com. Well, let's go to the phones here. We got Sarah. She's on the line in New Mexico. Go ahead, Sarah.
I have to get off the speakerphone. So there is a ranking of like the most renewable energy cities. So Albuquerque got number 13th ranking.
Okay.
And what's that based on? You know, whose example of renewal? Because best I can tell, the most renewable source of energy that we have is oil, crude oil that comes out of the ground. It's produced by the earth. This calling it fossil fuel has just been propaganda. There's no such evidence that crude oil comes from decomposed dinosaur bones. It's basically the Russians have proved back in the 20s that crude oil was a product of essentially the Earth's process, you know.
So there's not a limited amount, you don't think?
Absolutely not. So peak oil was all propaganda done by U.S. Standard Oil to make oil expensive and to regulate it.
To make you think it was going to run out, so you got
to
pay more?
To make you think it's going to run out. And the energy density, like, and even like these windmills, for example, like I drive by these windmills every time I come to Keene. You know, they're over in Hillsboro.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what it costs to manufacture those windmills is like, you know, the energy.
The amount of energy they have to actually put in to manufacture and then build.
Just manufacturing doesn't even cover what they'll produce in their lifetime. Mm-hmm. Never mind building it and then maintaining it. And then the waste of the wind, the blades, for example, and the birds it kills and stuff like that. But yeah, crude oil is the number 2 most renewable resource on planet Earth right after water.
What do you think about that, Sarah?
I think when they talk about renewable energy, in our state, it means we're anti-petroleum. I don't know how your interpretation is, but our energy, 50% of it comes from like solar panels and wind power. So that's the 13th ranking that we got is half of our energy that comes are from, like, solar electricity. And the thing is that we're going to get solar panels, me and Richard here, because we've been looking around.
What do they cost these days? I mean, I've heard that they are cheaper than they've ever been because they historically have been very, very expensive and hard to actually earn the, again, hard to pay the cost as far as what you save on electricity over time. What are you looking to spend on these things?
Well, okay, I do know, we don't know too much, we have no idea which the best company to go with, we're just kind of like going by the companies that we use for heating and our air conditioner or whatever, and then we're going to go with that. But the thing is that our state was giving a rebate, a tax write-off,
okay.
So a while ago.
And so is that a write-off on income tax? Does New Mexico have in-state income tax?
Well, what it is, it's a deduction. So if you work and you pay taxes, they'll give you, I think it used to be like $2,500.
But you don't work and pay taxes. So how does that work for you?
So that's what I'm talking about. Our income, we don't pay taxes to get an income, so we might have to just pay it out straight out. But the thing is that instead of
that's going to hurt for you, Sarah. You've never actually had to buy anything straight out in your whole life.
Hold up. But no, you pay an installment, but Richard's going to buy it. He's going to invest in it. The thing is that if our normal electric bill is about 50 or 60, we're going to be paying $5 for two people. If somebody
gets the question is, what do the solar panels cost? And you don't know yet.
I do not know yet. But the thing is, when you mass produce it, when everybody wants it, what happens is that it gets cheaper.
It will. That's true. It will definitely get cheaper if people want it. Although I don't think that we need, and thank you for the call tonight, I don't think we need to see the government subsidizing it. I think that's...
Yeah, I'm very much against that.
It's picking a winner. It's not
seems fair. Like every time I walk into a Home Depot, this guy wants to tell me about getting solar on my house, and you can get this kind of rebate from the feds, and this kind of rebate from the state, and this kind of rebate from blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, well, first off, that's all stolen money, and I'm anti-war, so I don't want to participate in anything that has the government is... You know, funding. Because in order for the government to fund something, they either have to print the money out of thin air or tax the people. Mm-hmm. Well, we know that they're so beyond taxation that they're printing the money, and the only purpose for war, literally, that the United States was involved in since, you know, at least 1971, and even going back, was to force the rest of the nations of the world to essentially, you know, adhere to the dominance of the U.S. dollar. So every example of every so-called terrorist nation, right before they became a terrorist, they're like, we're going to use gold. You know, so you got like Gaddafi was going to do gold. Yeah. You got Saddam Hussein was going to do a gold deal. Iran's talking gold. Now it's cool with all the BRICS nations. You hear like 19 more countries join the BRICS
They haven't joined yet. There's apparently going to be a meeting, the BRICS, you know, they have a meeting once a year, and that meeting is coming up. I don't remember if it was May or June, but it's coming soon. And there are apparently 19 countries applying for membership in BRICS. I don't know how long that process takes. I don't know if we're going to see some of them admitted this year or if it's like, you know, a few years down the line before that happens. But, yes, there's a high interest in a bunch of countries from around the world joining BRICS, which, of course, for listeners that don't know, is Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa.
Which is cool because I think because there sounds like that what they're trying to do is at least get away from the U.S. dollar. There's a lot of reports that these guys are, you know, trading in cryptocurrency. In fact, I believe Russia, I just read something this morning on freedomsphoenix.com that Russia was going to be using cryptocurrency as an exchange payment, which
Because I mean, I've heard rumors about things like that, but they've never really panned out quite yet. I'd like to see the story on that one. If you can pull that up. Let's go to the phones in the meantime. Here we got this caller. You're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Peter from California.
Peter, you're on the air.
Okay, thanks. Hey guys, hopefully it's not too windy in the background. I'm out hiking, but I heard Sarah talk about solar.
Yeah,
and I can give you the example from California.
Okay.
We just had it put in. I have a 1,800 square foot house. It was $30,000, and but I got a 30% tax rebate federally.
Okay.
So it was $20,000, and once I factor in, because I usually pay about $300-$400 a month in electric, in 7 years I'll break even. So I figure that's not too bad, and so far I'm really.
Is it covering? Just to clarify, is it going to cover your entire electric per month?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, 100%, and I have a negative balance every month. Of course, they don't. You know, the big power companies aren't going to pay us, so uh-oh, I'll be carrying a negative balance the whole time. And yeah, but I went from, during the summer, $350 a month down to zero, so it's not bad.
That's not bad.
So I'm pretty happy.
And was it something that you looked at over the years and the prices came down enough to where you thought, okay, this is finally worth doing?
I don't think the price came down much. I just we had been talking about it for 3-4 years. Had a salesperson come up and, you know, really wanted to check the contract. And it just, it came out, seemed like everyone I ever talked to was extremely happy with it. And I had nothing negative to say about it.
What kind of maintenance? I mean, obviously there's batteries involved, right? Because there's like a big, you know, rack of batteries.
No, the storage makes it unaffordable. We don't have storage. So if the power goes down, I just have a generator that kicks in, powers my house. The batteries can be $20,000, $30,000 for storage, and it just makes no sense.
Oh, so hold on. So do you have power at nighttime then?
Yes. Well, I'm on. What basically happens, SE, who's the power company out here, feeds me, you know, 24/7, and they're basically buying my power. And then, how can I describe
it? I thought you said they would. I can describe it for you. So what you have is have a grid tie system. So you have a so solar panels produce DC electricity, direct current, and our houses run on what's called alternating current.
AC. Yep.
So you have a what you have is a grid tie inverter that basically sends out a 60 hertz 220 or 110 volt electrical that matches the phase on your current electricity of the grid. It matches it, and then your meter reads. So if the grid goes down, you could still have, depending on how your system's set up, you could still have power off your solar panels when the sun is shining, but you won't have any power. You won't be able to store that unless, you know, you get some batteries or something, or, you know, got a water tower you can fill up. And so that's called a grid tie system, which is actually the most affordable way to go to jump into this if you're going to remain tied on a grid, because the most expensive part is the battery.
That makes sense. Okay, so what I'm hearing is when you said the grid won't pay you for the electricity you're feeding back into it, but they will put your balance negative, which means that, so what you're saying is, if I'm following you correctly, during the day, if you're generating more power with solar than you're using, that's going back into the grid as essentially a credit, but you'll never get money out of it. But then at nighttime, you're using money, you're using power from the grid, which will then make your negative balance lesser. Is that right?
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. So they're buying the power I'm generating at wholesale, and then I'm buying the power at retail. But I go ahead and produce more power than I use, so I'm always negative.
Okay, that's really cool. And how many months have you been doing this now?
We've been doing it about a year, and I'm extremely happy with it.
That's fantastic. Good. I'm glad to hear about that. Thanks for sharing the story. Glad it's working out economically for people. And obviously, it's probably not as good for people that don't get as much sunlight. So if you're in a particularly rainy area, I suspect it's not going to be as effective.
Yeah, here in New Hampshire is sort of a tough place for solar compared to like California and New Mexico and Arizona.
We do get a decent amount of sun here, all things considered.
In the summertime. Yeah, and in the wintertime.
Even in the wintertime.
The sun's low and less hours. But and I have, there's our Bardo Farms, an off-grid farm. They're on solar.
That's
but
sweet.
They pretty much got to run their generator every day in the wintertime. They don't have to run it every day in the summer.
It's good to have multiple options. Though.
Right. Sure. But it's about, five times the amount what it would cost to buy it, from the grid when you got to start, using a generator and stuff.
Let's go back to your calls here. Caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's your name?
Epicurus.
Epicurus, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call. I'll keep it brief, but you and Aria yesterday were talking about jury trials and how they don't seem to be quite as effective at being objective as they used to be. And I found that to be a very interesting idea because a connection I made was to a book I read a couple years ago. I may have mentioned it on Free Talk Live before. It's called Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman. And
It does sound familiar. I feel like, if not you, somebody has mentioned it. Do me a favor, back away from your phone like just a few inches. It might make you sound a little better. You're a little over-modulated.
Sorry.
That didn't change anything. Just so you know.
Well, I'll try to talk a little quieter.
All right.
It came to mind because it almost seemed like you guys may have been saying that or getting at that the idea that maybe jurors aren't the same as they were when a lot of these laws went into effect, 200, 300 years ago in the U.S. that required, jurors, a body of jurors to make decisions on murder cases, fraud cases, whatever. I kind of wonder, after reading this book, that if that's not that may be true, that the quality of people are different significantly. People think differently mm-hmm. today versus 200 years ago.
Yeah.
One point he made in this book was he cited an example as like around the 1850s. People in the 1850s would go to speeches between Lincoln and Stephen Douglas, and some of these speeches. Most politicians at the time, their speeches would go 2, 3, sometimes 5 hours long. In this case, it was a debate between Lincoln and Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
The people would go to these debates, on their one day off. They work 12-hour days, and then on their one day off, they go and listen to a speech that was like 5 hours long, and they would comprehend it, and they would have the patience for it. Try to imagine people doing that nowadays. They don't think the same way. And the argument this guy was making in this book was the fundamental difference is the technology. In the 1800s, the primary means that people got, the primary means for getting information was through text, through print,
mm-hmm.
through books specifically. And then when he wrote this book in the 80s, it was getting to the point where most people were getting information through TV, audio and video. And the argument he was making was the two technologies, they make for a very different type of person. The person who spends most of their time getting their information through text tends to think more conceptually and tends to be more analytical and more objective. And the people who get most of their information through video and audio tend to be more emotional. Because that's what the technology is good at conveying.
Yeah, that's all true. I mean, I think you can probably combine that with the fact that, 200 years ago, there wasn't the same idea of government schools. Those didn't come about, I think, until like the late 1800s. And so I suspect that also had a big factor where people have been essentially brainwashed by the state to be these obedient serfs who don't ever question anything. You combine that with what you're talking about, how mainstream media, television, movies, things like that work on people's emotions rather than their intelligence and their logic. I think that that's probably two important factors there.
Yeah, social media is the number one thing working on people's emotions now.
These days, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, and social media is just kind of an extension of a newer form of the same kind of technology we've seen. He's saying actually going all the way back to a telegraph, but yes, and I think that's a good point. The people in the 1800s, they not only did they, I think they probably thought more analytically and more objectively, but they were also more independent people, possibly because they got their own education. Sometimes it wasn't even through school. Sometimes they never even went to school. They learned things on their own. Versus nowadays, people get their education through public schooling, indoctrination, and the internet. So it's not really education anymore. The technology is not conditioning you to think independently. The government system's not conditioning you to think independently. And that kind of makes it, I think, that you don't end up being a very good juror because, you can't make an objective, informed decision on your own. So yeah, I kind of wonder maybe those laws that require jurors, maybe they never really were the best laws, but they definitely aren't now, because people are not capable, most people are not capable of being objective and analytically thinking judges of anything.
Great point, Epicurus. Thanks for calling and sharing that with us here tonight. I appreciate it. The number here is 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. Jay, you brought up the BRICS situation.
Yep.
With the continuing decline on the world scene of the U.S. dollar. And I actually had something that I caught today online. Dr. Peter St. Ange had something to say about some of the latest developments in the area of the dollar losing its influence, I think you're going to find this interesting. So I'm going to play this.
We've got three announcements this week on the accelerating decline of the dollar coming from China, Argentina, and the African gold producer, Ghana. First up, China announced they're now using more yuan than dollars in their cross-border payments. At this point, the yuan is now used in almost half of all of China's cross-border payments for the first time, edging out the U.S. dollar at a 47% share.
That's a pretty huge announcement.
Yeah.
I mean, China's the number one, I think he touches on this, is the number one most traded with country, right? Like, so if they're using yuan now more than the dollar, that is a big shift in an anti-dollar direction.
And gives China a tremendous amount of fiscal power.
Yep.
No, the dollar share is down 2% from just a month ago, meaning China could be substantially free of the dollar in another couple of years. Now, China is by far the world's largest exporter. It exports almost double what the U.S. does. So, paired with other countries also getting out of the dollar, this is driving down dollar trade settlement worldwide. According to SWIFT, the global consortium of banks and financial firms that handles cross-border currency trades, the U.S. dollar is now down to just 40% of world trade being settled in dollars. Now, that is a very large drop from the dollar's 52% share as recently as 2014. Wow. In fact, another couple years of this, and the dollar starts to approach America's actual share of world GDP of roughly 25%. In other words, if you get to 25%, you are no longer a reserve currency, at least not for trade.
I mean, if you get to 33%, you're probably not the reserve currency. But to go from 52% of the, you know, the world's trade to 40% in less than a decade is a pretty significant drop.
The U.S. dollar not being the reserve currency of the world is actually, I believe, going to make the world a way better place.
I agree.
And the number one reason is they literally won't be able to buy bombs.
It disempowers the warmongering police state.
Yep. This war machine could not exist at its level without the you know, the fiat dollars being created out of thin air to us to fund it. And also, of course, without the faith of all of the you know, millions and millions of people around the world, you know, having faith in this U.S. dollar, which also, you know, has been propping it up way too long.
You're just doing at-home stuff. Next up, Argentina announced it's shifting the yuan for Chinese imports. Now, that's expected to total about $10 billion per year going forward. In fact, Argentina is turning from the dollar more broadly, running down its dollar reserves and replacing them with Chinese yuan. Just last November, Argentina announced a fresh $5 billion swap. That's a loan between central banks. Now, for perspective, China is already Argentina's second largest trading partner, and Argentina is the second biggest economy in South America, after Brazil, which, oddly enough, also recently announced it's switching to yuan.
Right. We covered that on the show a few weeks ago. So you now have the two largest economies in South America that are using yuan to do their trading with China instead of the dollar. There's more coming up.
Hi, this is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and best-selling author on safety and preparedness. The fact is, things are getting downright scary for everyone who's storing their wealth in the banks. We just saw the collapse of three major banks, and I would urge you to consider protecting your wealth ASAP. If even a tiny percentage of Americans attempt to withdraw their savings, we would see a collapse of the entire banking system, sending us into a modern-day Great Depression. Fortunately, there is a way for you to avoid this. It starts with contacting Advantage Gold. If you have an IRA or 401k, Advantage Gold can help convert those paper assets into physical gold and silver. This is the process that I recommend everybody use as a hedge against rapid inflation and to protect your retirement wealth from the banks. Take control of your financial safety today. Call 800-900-8000 to get your free gold investment kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Consult with your financial advisor before investing.
Call 800-900-8000.
USA News Update. Former Vice President Mike Pence testified in a federal probe Thursday about Donald Trump's alleged role in the January 6th riot at the Capitol. The testimony comes after former President Trump filed an emergency motion to stop Pence from appearing. It's the first time in modern history a VP was compelled to testify about the president he served with. Reports say Pence testified for several hours. President Biden, meantime, hosting a Take Your Child to Work Day event at the White House Thursday. The president took questions from kids on the White House lawn.
What's my favorite ice cream flavor? I may be among the dullest presidents of the world because I'm known for two things, my Ray-Ban sunglasses and chocolate chip ice cream.
National Take Your Child to Work Day is observed April 27th each year. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live. You can join the show here and bring up whatever you want to discuss. Tina J, you can join us at this phone number, 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. You can check out Jay's website. It's jaynoone.com. That's JAYNOONE.com. And that's where, Jay, you are doing a fundraiser right now.
Doing a fundraiser for Man Camp at Pork Fest.
Bringing it back after a couple of years away, I think.
Yeah, I think it's been 3 years since we had the Man Camp set up there. And so we'll see how far we get. I got a one dash donation so far. There's just cryptocurrency is all I'm really able to accept. Mm-hmm. And you go to the website there. I will also be putting on that website as soon as we have it done. My Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Device Junkies
the seminar that you're coming out with?
Yeah, that I'm working on coming out with. The most important thing really to focus on right now is... making sure that that our posterity are useful and valuable and have something to do and there's something for them.
Speaking of that, have you considered giving a speech about that at Porkfest?
Yes, I am supposed to be doing a speech on that. I have, I'm not sure where I'm scheduled in.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good.
But one of the things I am going to do is at the kids' tent, I'm going to be doing like a every day. I'm working with a girl who's setting that up. I think they call it Porky Pints. But every day I'm going to do like a 45-minute sort of discussion with parents and stuff at the Porky Pines tent. Or I was thinking about even doing it at the playground because me and my kids are going to be hanging out at the playground a lot. Mm-hmm. And that's also why I want to raise money for the Man Camp. I want to hire some blacksmiths to come and teach kids. And Man Camp at Pork Fest, we will be teaching kids how to forge iron. And also, Derek Slopey, a friend of ours, he's going to bring his oxygen acetylene torch welding setup, and he's going to teach people how to weld the way they were welding before they used electricity to weld.
Fantastic.
Which is a lot of fun, I think.
You can donate to this over at jnoon.com. And like you said, multiple cryptos, Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Dash.
Monero.
Monero.
Yep.
So the biggies in this community, at least. And I hope that works out. What else do people need to know about it?
That I'm trying to raise $5,000, which is, you know, a big sum of money. If we don't get, there's going to be something happening.
Okay.
Even if, you know, it might be minuscule, it might be small, but there's going to be something happening. Usually I try to sell meat there, cook meat, and I will probably still be cooking up, you know, breakfast tacos I think I'm going to do. And with, you know, eggs from my farm and other local farms and meat from our pigs. And then the Autonomy Unlimited guys, they're going to buy hamburgers off me from my cows.
Nice.
So they'll be cooking that. And I'm trying to do a little more with my kids this year at Pork Fest. So I'm going to sort of keep my man camp time a little limited. And that's why I want to, you know, hire some blacksmiths to help out with it. And that's why I'm asking for the money.
Check out jnoon.com. I hope I can go this year. I've got to ask special permission, basically, from the court to attend that particular event. But I was able to only make it up there for one day last year. And it was nice to get up for the one day when the previous year I couldn't go any days. So, you know, best case scenario would be to be able to attend the whole thing and get to stay on the campground and all that. So got my fingers crossed. We'll
that
see.
Would be fantastic if you could be there.
We'll see. All right. So we continue here. I just want to share the rest of this video here from Peter St. Onge. His Twitter handle is at Prof. St. Onge, P-R-O-F-S-T-O-N-G-E. Puts one of these out every day, and it's usually just chock full of some useful information here on what's going on in the economy. So he's talking about the dollar. He's mentioned that already China is now doing more trading in the yuan, more international trading in its own yuan than it is in the dollar, and it didn't used to be that way. So that's now changed. It shifted towards the yuan. Also just announced that Argentina, the second largest economy in South America, is now doing all of its trades with China in the yuan, whereas before, like Brazil, which also made this change recently, like Brazil, they were doing them in the dollar before. Even though they were trading with China, they were using the dollar to settle the transactions. Now that's switched to the yuan. Also true with Brazil, which is the number one and the number two economies in South America. So bit by bit, China's chipping away at the dollar's dominance all around the world. Here's the rest of the video.
In fact, last month, Brazil reported that the yuan passed the euro to become the number two currency in Brazil's foreign exchange reserves. By the way, as recently as 2018, Brazil had zero Chinese yuan. Hmm. And also note, Brazil still holds about 250 billion U.S. dollars, so there is a long ways down if they keep at it. Finally, the country of Ghana, the sixth largest gold producer in the world, is now requiring gold miners to sell 20% of their gold to the government, which it will then use to pay for imported oil rather than chasing dollars that could be rug pulled at any moment. This kind of moving towards hard assets is very similar to what Russia did last year with its own gold producers, and it suggests a new trend for developing countries to quickly exit the dollar. In fact, the president of the seventh largest gold producer, Indonesia, has already said he wants out of the dollar. He literally said, quote, "Look what happened to Russia." Note, number three gold producer, Russia, number 12, South Africa, and number 14, Brazil, are already part of BRICS, while other major gold producers like Peru, Kazakhstan, and Sudan may be next. It was once unthinkable that the U.S. would lose dominance in manufacturing, and yet our politicians made it happen via death by a thousand cuts. And so, once again, our leaders turned to destroying, cut by self-inflicted cut, what it took generations to build.
Yeah, he makes an interesting point there that, you know, all the manufacturing left the United States, and it was due to the regulations. It was due to all the mandates, OSHA, whatever, federal government mandates that were shoved down the throats of these manufacturers. They said, it is worth it economically for us to build an entire new facility in some other country and shut down whatever we have here in the United States and just do business that way. And I mean, it's a huge cost. Sure. To build a whole new factory is a huge cost.
And the American government footed the bill for many of these mega corporations. Like one that a good friend of mine worked for, a woman who's very close to my family, it was a company called American Optical. And she was a buyer for American Optical. They had a huge manufacturing, Southbridge, Massachusetts. Like, the whole city was basically built around American Optical. They basically made optical lenses.
Okay.
And during the NAFTA stuff...
industrial kind of?
Well, no, lenses? For glasses.
For glasses, okay.
Glasses was their thing. And they also did, like, lenses for microscopes and all kinds of things. And anyways, American Optical moved everything to China. And it was all kinds of massive grant money from basically the Clinton administration. This was during the Clinton tenure when this happened. And my dad's best friend. She's still around. She's actually taking care of my dad's old horse. She worked for American Optical, and part of her job was getting all these suppliers for American Optical switched over to sending everything to China. And at that time, some of that stuff was coming from China, but she was very upset because at the time she was a very patriotic American and really thought like a lot of the government's doing good and stuff. And one of the things that turned her sort of into the ideas of liberty is as she was doing this, and she was a kind of a big cheese in this company at the time, she could have got a really good pay raise to go over to China, but she had two young kids. She wasn't, doing that. She was very distraught that basically the American government sold out its own people. They literally paid almost all the expenses through all kinds of grants to send all this equipment and hardware and relocation into China. And she was very upset about all. You're like,
well, even if they hadn't done that, it would have gone out anyway.
Right, but this has happened like so many times with exporting sort of manufacturing. The government helped it, incentivize it, and let's not forget. The Clintons have a huge, essentially a very large, a very huge connection with the Chinese government, sort of, and the Bidens have it, and, a lot of our politicians are very much in bed with politicians from other countries, and, the Clintons were part of the agenda to sort of, disrupt America, disable it, and one of the things to do that is to get the manufacturing out, and that makes a country, if you play any kind of war game, the country that doesn't have manufacturing, you can't defend itself, is the bottom line.
Yep, it's a bad situation, and now you've got, and it took some time for that to happen, but it did happen, and now you've got the de-dollarization happening slowly. It's not all happening at once. It might speed up at some point. But right now, you got time to prepare yourself for this. There are things that you can do. You can take a cue from some of these countries that St. Ange was talking about, where the governments are buying their gold producers' gold. 20% of all the gold that they produce has to be, by law, sold to the government. Not a bad plan to get some precious metals.
Especially if that's what it's going to take to buy oil. And if I was an oil producer, that's probably what I'd want to get paid in. I don't blame those guys.
Indeed. I was surprised to hear that they were actually using it to buy oil. I didn't know that that was actually being done yet. Or maybe they're seeing that as going to be something that's on the horizon. But what you see when you look up de-dollarization in the mainstream media is just flat denials. All the mainstream sources are saying, oh, that can never happen. But meanwhile, China's taken down. Brazil into using the yuan to trade with them, Argentina into using the yuan with trading with them. They're bending Saudi Arabia's ear. They've already got trade with Russia. I mean, they're knocking the dominoes down here one by one.
And good for them. They need to do that. That's going to give the people of Brazil and Argentina are going to have more stability having access to different currencies. And not just being subjected to the U.S. dollar. And another thing with, Brazil, for example, one of the things this guy was talking about, Brazil still had all these dollars on their balance sheet. But one thing you got to understand, Brazil exports a tremendous amount of beef and pork to the United States.
Really?
Actually, the largest pork producer in the United States is a Brazilian company called JBS.
Huh.
They might be the second largest beef producing outfit. I mean, these are guys that got like slaughterhouses that do like 30,000 pigs a day,
wow.
You know, 10,000 cows a day, you know, like Greeley, Colorado, and, you know, all in Kansas. JBS, just if people want to learn a little bit about food supply and control of it, JBS is a Brazilian owned company. So, and then Brazil produces, you know, Brazil is all in bed with Monsanto and, you know, all that same stuff. They produce a ton of crops in Brazil. And kind of like China, they don't have all the regulations and stuff like they do here in America with mm-hmm. farming. So and actually a lot of American farmers, over the years, big American corporate farms have moved significant parts of their operations to Brazil as part of, you know, diversifying their, you know, becoming international and stuff. A lot
sure.
of your big corporate farms. And, so there's definitely a lot of dollars going into Brazil, just like there's a lot of dollars going into China. Brazil produces a lot of food. And Americans buy a lot of it.
If you want to weigh in, you can hear the number 603-283-6160. Let's continue here with TJ the Spy calling from Colorado. TJ, you're on Free Talk Live.
Greetings, Ian. Greetings, Jay.
Hey.
I just wanted to say, have you heard about, I don't know if you covered it early in the show, but Matthew Hoover was convicted. He's the YouTube guy who does the firearms channel, and he made an auto key card where he had a lightning link etched down, not fully cut out, but just etched onto it. And he promoted it on YouTube, and he got convicted.
Yeah, he was actually one of two. So we covered this, I think, over the weekend. It's a really outrageous case. For anyone that believes in freedom of speech, you should pay attention to what's going on here, because this guy basically, it's the Hoover was the guy with the YouTube channel. The other person, I don't recall his name offhand, but the other guy was
Irving, I think, something
yeah,
like
the,
that.
The other guy was the guy who actually came up with the idea. So he was the guy who produced the card. So it was a metal card, like a wallet size kind of credit card size card made out of metal,
mm-hmm.
and it had this etching on it. It was essentially a drawing. And the
a piece of art.
Yeah, a piece of art. And if someone were to have cut that card on that drawing, then they might have something that they could put into an AR-15 and convert that AR-15 to a automatic firing weapon.
Yes.
And according to what we read, sometimes they worked, sometimes they didn't. But, you know, one out of three times you might actually be able to make an AR-15 into an automatic weapon. So the federal government arrested these guys. The Hoover guy had the YouTube channel, so he was just helping to promote it. They arrested both of them and charged them with federal crime of unlicensed transfer of a machine gun. And they are saying, they told this jury, and the jury apparently agreed because they convicted them.
And from Florida.
Were they both in Florida or was one in Wisconsin?
One was in Wisconsin, the other one was in Florida. And I thought, boy, you got out in the nick of time, Ian.
The jury here in New Hampshire wasn't any better, but the jury convicted them of these counts. One of them was convicted on all the counts, and one of them was convicted on most of the counts, multiple felony charges of transferring a machine gun. So the ATF wants you to believe, and the jury believed it, that a piece of metal with a drawing on it is a machine gun.
Yes, and, you know, this is somebody I have, you know, like I've over the years, I used to own a fully automatic, two fully automatic MP5s with the, you know, automatic sear, and I had the Form 4 and the $200 tax stamp and the permission slip from the ATF that said, I'm a good boy, please, master, may I have this machine gun?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I had it was plain and simple, you know, it was an investment, because I bought it for like $13,500 back in 2002, and I sold it foolishly because I needed money for my first divorce.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, it recently appraised at auction for $55,000.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's like, oh, and see, the thing is, you go into any gun range, everybody wants to shoot it. It's like driving a Ferrari of guns.
Uh-huh.
So it's an attention getter when people hear that, and they're like, dude, can I shoot it? And you're like, of course.
$5 a round.
Right. Yeah, what's that cost?
Oh, yes. Well, that's the only downside. Yeah, back in the day, it was like, I remember when it was 10 cents a round for 9mm ammunition. Mm-hmm. I'm showing my age here. But now you can't even get the primer for 10 cents.
Wow.
You know, the whole, you know, the bullet's like 15 cents. The powder's like 30 cents. The brass casing, that's like, you know, 30 cents. So you're like a dollar a round a lot of times when you go and buy 50 rounds.
Yeah, it's a pretty crazy story, and but yeah, the jury went ahead and found them guilty of transferring machine guns, even though we're talking about a 2x3-inch, roughly, card with a drawing on it. So, I mean, it's a clear attack against freedom of speech, the freedom of expression, the freedom to create artwork, to share ideas. And I think it was Captain Kickass who said on the air on Saturday night on this topic, it's like, would it also be illegal to have a CAD file or something like that with the instructions on how to cut one of these things out of a piece of metal, to speak the instructions on the radio, like, you know, turn right at 90 degrees, cut for, you know, 1 inch, that kind of thing.
Yes, and this is nothing new. The NSA and the Department of Justice went after Phil Zimmerman, the creator of PGP, or Pretty Good Privacy, for exporting, you know, the source code. What he did is he printed the source code in textbook format, and that was protected by the First Amendment. So it was exported to Britain, and then Britain, they OCR'd all the text in, recompiled the source code, and created an exportable version of PGP, bypassing the NSA arms export laws at the time. And they really turned the screws to him and came after him, and they finally dropped all the charges and the investigation after several years. But, you know, it's really scary to watch all my friends get taken down one by one by various, you know, government agencies. And I think, boy, I hope they don't ever come after us.
It is scary watching all your friends getting taken down. So I got friends like that I would consider normies, like these guys that are diesel repair guys, mm-hmm. and they got the EPA raiding their shops or mm-hmm. sending them nasty letters. You know, you're going to pay $200,000 fine because you bought all this equipment from these online dealers to install. Like, so what they're doing is they're taking like diesel pickup trucks, for example, which is like the modern day muscle car, mm-hmm. and you put these, you know, $3,000 worth of tuner and delete parts in them, and your 2021, you know, Dodge diesel pickup truck goes from getting 14 miles to the gallon driving it like a car to getting 24 miles to the gallon.
Wow.
And because you eliminated all the emission controls. And basically now the engine's running at peak efficiency, not, you know, whatever the EPA wants it to run for. And
cut out the catalytic converters and things like that.
Well, they're changing the computer, the way that the injection mm-hmm. Fire, you know, the way the diesel fires, the way everything works, the timing, there's all kinds of parameters. Because all these new cars, you can tune them. So I went on this site the other day called thedieselgarage.com, mm-hmm. and I was really active on this forum 15 years ago. And in fact, I got an inbox in there with like 600 messages. I didn't even look at any of them.
Oh, wow.
But I just went to go look up something. A guy had a question. I'm like, oh, I can figure this out. I found, and it was about basically doing a delete on a diesel pickup truck. And the forums are not allowing any talk on any of the internet, diesel site, diesel garage, and a handful of them, because they're all afraid of the EPA coming after them.
Wow.
So you can't even post on these diesel forums, truck and hot rod car enthusiast forums. It's you know, but it's also sending these things into like, you know, I recommend it as somebody does.
So
like,
it's illegal, just to clarify, to make these changes to your own car or to do them to somebody else's car?
Actually, it's not illegal to make it to your own car, but it's mm-hmm. illegal for a licensed repair shop to offer it as a service.
Wow.
But they're cracking down on everybody because people like a lot of these newer cars. If you try to find it's called NZ77. Internet search that, and you might have to go to dark web to actually. You might have to go to the same place where you buy drugs online to figure out how to tune your car now.
Jeez.
But NZ77 is kind of like a hacker program to like take any of your like you know your Honda Accord, and it'll make it way more powerful, a lot more fuel mileage, and it just does away with all the emissions crap that's holding the car back, which is basically all nonsense, anyways. Best I can tell, because you're using half the fuel, with the diesel pickup trucks anyways. And all the reports are, there's so many people are so upset with the forum that they can't talk about this stuff. And one guy's like, yeah, we had a great community on Facebook about doing this to our, these guys were talking about.
I'm sure they shut that down.
Souping up some kind of Toyota car.
Mm-hmm.
And, yep, shut that all down. So, yeah, everybody's being censored everywhere. And so many nonviolent, even these guys aren't even libertarians. They're just having a diesel shop and
just
they're paying
guys.
Taxes. They're car guys, and the EPA's coming against them, turning them into libertarians.
Yeah, right. There's no better way to mint a libertarian than to have the state come down on your head. TJ?
Yeah, I agree. I've been thinking. I was indicted for money laundering way back in the day. Like, it's been over 10 years by the Missouri Highway Patrol Gaming Enforcement Commission for sticking my own money in a slot machine.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like $10,000 attorney bills and $1,000 to get my record expunged because the arrest was showing up there. And I'm like, well, I didn't do anything. I'm not guilty. So
doesn't matter. Still got to pay.
And I would like to point out, before I close,
that
it only took the Ten Commandments. Moses had two stone tablets in the Ten Commandments. Jesus had the Gospels. But the almighty U.S. government has 100,000 pages of laws, along with 2 million pages in the Code of Federal Regulations. So, I mean, I don't know. I kind of like the Gospels and more, because I can actually read those from front to end. Than I can the U.S. code.
This is true. Thank you, TJ, for the call tonight. I appreciate hearing from you. Let's get David in New Mexico on here. David, you're on Free Talk Live.
Yeah, it's not formerly known as David. I'm now a major pain in the ass. That way I'll never get cut off again on the wrongly named Free Talk Live. And since I don't have time to address the pickup where I got cut off last night, I'll just say, in regards to your government, that's really not your government. They're private parties and imposters, and you've done nothing about it so far. But at some point, you got to do something about it. So the question is, what you going to do about it, punk?
Okay. Well, I think the best answer there is for liberty-minded people to move to New Hampshire and gather together, and we can then peacefully do things like secede from the United States and get people elected to roll back the government programs here in New Hampshire. And I think that peace is the answer.
I think we need to invest in our posterity, because this is a generational warfare that is we're involved in now, whether we like it or not. And we need to make sure our kids are competent and confident enough to not ever need government nor have the desire to ask for government.
Also, a good idea if you're around neighbors and friends who also share your values and your beliefs.
Yes.
Right? Because then those kids can get together with the others and you got yourself a community. Out of time for tonight. You can check out Jay's website, jnoon.com. We'll see you tomorrow online in the meantime. FreeTalkLive.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.